If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 41 this morning. I'm asking you to stand. We're going to read one verse, and that's verse 10. You're familiar with it. In fact, Johnny, we must think alike because a lot of things he said are similar to what I'm going to say this afternoon, or this morning, but that's okay. Again, the Lord would have us to do this, I'm sure, because I didn't consult with him and he didn't consult with me. So anyway, if you find Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you, let's read this verse together this morning since it's one verse. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. When you find it, stand. Okay, let's read it together and I'll begin Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We're reminded that you are a great God, a mighty God, a God who can do all things. But our failure is in the fact that we don't believe it. We don't live it by faith. And we do it in part, but not in full. And that's the problem, is to let go and realize that you are in control of all of it. And Father, I just pray this morning, as we look at this one verse and some other passages in the Scripture this morning, that you would help each one of us to realize that we are to live by faith. We're not to walk by sight. We're to see things from your perspective, not always knowing what's ahead, but taking it, as we sung this morning, one step at a time. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to understand that. And as we study the Word of God and as you speak to our hearts, that we would take it and apply it. We would use what you give us by faith, trusting that you know best and that your way is perfect. And Father, help us not to stumble as we look at things from our perspective, the way we were brought up, and maybe the way we feel about it. But help us to see it through your eyes and follow it. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Everything this morning, including Sunday school, I think has revolved around faith. The songs we sung, of course, even the bulletin. If you look at the bulletin in the first, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And of course, I didn't know that was going to be on there either, but it's just strange how God puts everything together, and he does that often, and he does it for us to help us to know that he is a mighty God and that we can go to him at any time. In our passage this morning, we see it begins with fear not. You know, fear is the opposite of faith. So that's what we want to understand. Fear is a mighty thing. It can change the way a person thinks, the way he lives, and the way he dies. In spite of what people say, 90% of the chronic patients who see today's physicians have one common symptom. The trouble is that it did not start with a cough or chest pain, but it started in 90% of the cases, statistics have said, the first symptom was fear. You know, I believe that that's true. There have been times in my life because of fear that I've been to the hospital. And I recall one specific time when I went to work, and I must have slept on my arm wrong, my left arm. That's significant because if any of you know some of the symptoms of a heart attack, one of them is pain in your left arm. Pain in your chest, neck, your back, your jaw, you know. And I went to work, and I had this pain in my left arm. And throughout the morning, I was thinking about this pain in my left arm. And the more I thought about it, the faster my heart began to race. And my heart just jumped up there. It was 100 and something running, flat out. And so about 9 o'clock, I went to the front desk because I couldn't find my boss. And you've heard this story many times. But I just said, look, I got to go home. I don't feel good. So I got in the car and the whole time thinking, man, I'm dying. I'm having a heart attack. And I got home and there was Janie. She said, what are you doing home? I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. She jumped me in the car and took off and went down to the hospital. I remember we went into the emergency room and there were a ton of people in there. And my wife went up there and says, my husband believes he's having a heart attack. And the lady says, well, go sit down. you know, in triage, they first come, first serve. Well, it's not first come, first serve. It's the worst case come, then like, that's the way it's supposed to be. But anyway, I sat there for a few minutes, and the more I sat there, the worse it got. Finally, they got me in there, took my blood pressure, looked at my heart rate and said, man, there's something wrong with you. So they rushed me back in there, put me on a bed, and a doctor came in and said, here, take this. And it was a little tablet, and he said, stick it under your tongue. So I stuck it under my tongue. It's nitroglycerin. And a few minutes later, he says, how do you feel? I said, I'm dying. I think I'm having a heart attack. And so he said, wait a minute. And so he came back, and he had this solution in a little bitty cup. And he says, drink this. So I drank it. And a few minutes later, he says, how do you feel? I said, I feel a whole lot better. He said, okay. He says, you got acid reflux. And I said, oh, okay, thanks. He said, but anytime you have a symptom as you've had today, please don't hesitate, but come in. Because they mimic a lot of symptoms, or a lot of things mimic a heart attack. But because of fear that day, in my mind, it drove me to the conclusion that I was dying and having a heart attack. And that's what fear can do to us. Fear can mess us up. What you think on is what you will become. It's true. And we know that. Sometimes the fear that we have is just superficial, as anxiety. Sometimes it's so deep-seated that the patient himself denies its existence and makes the round of doctor to doctor, taking injections, hormones, tranquilizers, tonics, and endless search for relief. It's just, it's crazy sometimes. I read an article about a woman who just returned from a vacation in Mexico, and she was in Los Angeles, and in her bag, she heard something making a noise like a rattlesnake. You know how rattlesnakes sound. She threw the bag out on the sidewalk and called the police, and they came, and of course, they're nervous about this, a snake, a loose rattlesnake in this bag. They took the bag, unzipped it, and dumped it on the sidewalk, and out came a vibrating toothbrush. But this lady was afraid. She thought for sure there was a rattlesnake in there. And things like that will do strange things to us. I don't know about you, but I've been on my motorcycle before. Maybe Jeff has experienced this, or others who ride. And a wasp, had a shirt that's kind of loosely buttoned here, and a wasp came in and got into my shirt, and it was sitting there on my shoulder. And I'm on this motorcycle just going crazy. I just stopped it real hard as fast as I could. And I'm sitting there going, like just beating that thing to death because I didn't want to get stung. But it just made me go crazy. And I know the people around me thought I was a nut. You know, what's wrong with this guy? But things like that, fear of anything, will cause us to do things that are strange. And we get excited. And so for us, we need to understand that fear is conquered by faith. And when we can have faith in God and His plan for us, we can conquer fear. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31 for a second. And again, some of this is going to overlap with what John said this morning. Maybe not as extensive as he shared, but he was specific about Joshua. But we're going to look at some of that. In Deuteronomy 31, if I can find it here, I got two pages stuck together, it looks like. Okay, there we go. In Deuteronomy 31, I want you to look at verse 1. It says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And so here we see that Moses was 120 years old, and he's ready to pass off the scene, and he's passing the mantle to Joshua. And as John mentioned this morning, I believe that was because Joshua was faithful in serving Moses, in essence of serving God. And so he's going to get the mantle, and he's going to be the one that takes the children of Israel over the Jordan River. Now, think about that. Now, Joshua, 40 years earlier, was one of the men, him and Caleb, that saw the land, saw the giants, and yet they said, is God not with us? Will God not do this for us? There were 12 men, and 10 of those were afraid. 10 of those allowed fear to convince them and convince the children of Israel not to go over the River Jordan. Can you imagine the children of Israel 40 years later? Still, I think they thought about that. But yet Joshua said, God will go before us. He will take care of us. And it was the faith of Joshua that enabled them to do the unknown, to go over to that land and to destroy those people, those cities, and conquer them. You know, I think about unknowns and the things that we don't know. They come in many packages. One unknown is it may be your health. I remember watching, I think the show was Dr. Kildare, if I remember right. I can't, or maybe it's Ben Casey. Ben Casey, I think, was the show. And in that show, I think I was like in fourth grade or something, and I watched this show. And one of the things that occurred in the show was there was a guy that came in with a headache. And he had a headache, and so the doctor investigated it. Come to find out, he had a brain tumor. So they operated on him, and I don't remember the outcome of that. But I remember I was sitting in class, and it was about, I guess, April or May, springtime. And I started getting these really migraine headaches. They were actually from allergies or whatever, and it's just sinus headaches. And they were just pounding my eyeballs. And I remember sitting there in class, and I couldn't think. I couldn't do anything, and I laid my head down. And eventually, I started crying. And all the time I'm thinking, I got a brain tumor. And I wasn't going to tell nobody, because I don't think that one with Dr. Ben Casey came out too good. Must not, because I wouldn't tell my mom. I wouldn't tell anybody. I just hurt so bad. And that went on for several weeks there for a while. But the whole thing is, there was fear. Fear of my life because of the unknown. If I would have told somebody, they might have been able to help me and said, here, take this pill. It might help your sinus headaches. But I didn't do that. I think about unknowns in my life. The unknown of having to replace a kidney. That's an unknown. You know other people have gone on before you and have success, but there have been people that have not. I was in the office one day and at Maine Medical, and a young girl came in crying, and she said, my kidney failed. She had a transplant already, and it failed, and she was crying. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get a kidney, and it's going to fail, and I'm going to have to do this again, or what? And so there's a fear of the unknown. What's going to happen before? But what replaces that fear is the faith in God. When you have faith in God, you can trust Him no matter what you go through, no matter what situation happens. There's the job situation. You don't know sometimes you take a job. I remember when I was in the Navy, or joined the Navy, I really had no idea what was going to happen. I remember I talked to a bunch of Marines that I worked with. They were old guys, been in World War II, and they told me about shots and different things, and there were some weird shots. They said, watch out for the square needle. It scared me to death. It was an unknown to me. I had no idea. I was gullible as all get out. And I'm listening to these things, and they're telling me all these things that they had to do. Of course, they had to clean the toilet bowl, and one of the things they had to do after they cleaned that was they'd come in there and they would be asked, did you clean that toilet bowl? Yes, sir, sir, yes, sir, or whatever. He says, okay, and he'd bring a cup and says, drink out of it. And I'm thinking, I don't want to drink out of a toilet. Come on. These are unknowns to me, you know. But I went ahead and joined. And one of the things that used to scare me a little bit was the idea of falling off the ship in the middle of the ocean. I mean, what are you going to do? Here it is. It's nighttime and you go out and, I don't know, sitting on the fantail and you're walking and all of a sudden you trip and stumble. You go over one of the helo nets or something. You're in the ocean and nobody saw you. And man, I guess you're shark bait. I guess that's the way it is. It's scary to think about these things. Fear. Fear when you move to a different place and you don't know the people. Man, I tell you, when we moved here, I wasn't really afraid too much. But there was a lot of unknowns. I mean, you had these people that were strange. Some of them could speak English and some of them couldn't. Or at least not Southern English. Maybe New England English. And of course, that was all different. And you heard somebody talking about wicked things in church. And you go, what's the matter with these people? They need to get right with God. That was wicked good. It's just different, you know. And we got up here. And I remember driving up here. The first time we came up in July with the family just to visit. Once we left Farmington, right after we left in that sharp curve, you know, you're going to go 25 miles an hour, whatever it is. It was all dirt. And I thought to myself, because they were working on the road, I thought to myself, well, the rest of it must be dirt trail. I'm thinking, we're really going out in the boondocks, you know. Of course, we hit some pavement there somewhere along the line. We were okay. But we were used to going to the store right down the road, to the Walmart or whatever it was. It was everything was within 15 minutes. If I needed something to work on my house, I jumped in the car. I could go to Home Depot, Lowe's, all these places, 15 minutes, you know. And I got up here and I thought, man, you got to figure things out. Because if something breaks, you're going to have to go get it and you're going to have to get everything. You don't want to go twice to Lowe's or whatever, you know, or even to Farmington just to figure something out. So things were different. There's some fear there. You know, fear comes in many ways. And we just have to understand, though, for us, there comes a point where we have to say to God, God, you know best. And really, that's the only way I got up here, by the way, is because I said to myself, God knows best. Because I remember when I was in Bible college, I said to the Lord and myself, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want, but. And I named those places. Florida, don't want to go there. I just don't want to deal with it. Why? Because Florida is upside down anyway. It's all the northern people. And I don't want to go to New England because those people are strange too. And you know what? That's where the Lord sent me. First to Florida and then to New England. And I thought, wow. But you know, I realized at some point that it's God's will that I want. And by faith, I have to trust whatever He does, however He leads. And so I have to learn to fear not of these unknowns that come into our lives. And we need to trust Him for the situation, trust Him for whatever. God wants us to be what He wants us to be. And He's given us the opportunity to serve Him. You know, salvation is not about getting to heaven. I don't know why we make that such a big deal. That's not the point. The point is that you and I can become holy to go to heaven. That's the point. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. Because of Jesus' death, we become saints. And we are reconciled to God. And God happens to be in heaven. That's where we're going to go. But the only way you can go there is to be holy. Set apart. Different. You can't go there being the same as the world. You've got to be different. And when the Spirit of God resides in you, He's going to change you. Some it will be quicker than others. Because it depends on how hard you fight God. And when you can learn to trust Him for everything. Of course, the first purpose of this whole thing is that we might glorify God. Whether if we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And once you get that locked into your brain, as that God is trying to transform you and make you holy, then you can understand more of the mission that He has given us to do. And of course, the holiness is because God is holy, we're to be holy. According to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 5, He tells us to be perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. That really equates to holiness as well. Now, we can't achieve that on our own. We can't achieve that in the human flesh, if you will, because we don't have the power to do that. There's nothing holy about Bruce Townsend. And I surmise and submit to you this morning, there's nothing holy about you either. The only thing that makes you capable of being holy is the fact that you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And once you do that, then God, if you're willing to submit to His plan, He is going to convert you, to change you, and to move you closer to Him so you're less of what you were by nature. That's a sinner. Uncaring. Didn't even want to respond to God. Didn't even look to God. Didn't care about what God thought. To where now, you're reading your Bible. you're listening to the Word of God. And you're not only listening, but you're applying it. You're putting it to application. You know, it's funny to me how we will serve a human master. When I was working at Corning and other places, they gave me a schedule and they told me, you be here at this time, you do this, you do this. And you know what I did? I did those things because I felt like I'm supposed to serve these guys. But yet, sometimes we serve those guys with unconditional questioning, and yet when it comes to God, we won't serve Him. I think in some form or some way, we get in our mind that that's an abstract being. Yeah, we believe there's a God, but He's way up there in heaven, and He hasn't really affected my life. He's not in control of me. Yet He's your master, more so than any human person on this earth. If you can serve your boss with unconditional service, why can't you and I serve God like that? It requires faith. It requires believing that there is a God. It requires to seek Him. Understand that He's going to take care of us. So God's also given us other things to do. You know, in Matthew 28:19, we all know this. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. That's a command from God, the master of us, the Almighty. It's interesting, He says, teaching them to observe some of those things that I've taught you. That's right. So my responsibility in this, as well as yours, is that when we share the Word of God, we're to teach the whole counsel of God, the whole truth. And you know what? I understand that none of us are perfect and none of us are going to get it right the first time. But I also understand if you're serious and I'm serious about serving God, we're going to listen. And we're going to strive to do what He says. Because that's what faith is all about. You had faith for salvation. Now you should have faith to live in the realm of the Word of God. Do as it says. Follow Him. The principles and the things that He teaches us. And I know it's not always easy, but it's easy if you learn to submit and just let it go. Quit fighting Him. Quit putting up your excuses and say, "Well, I can't do this because." I used to do that. One of the hardest things that I ever did was go on visitation. Preacher, get up there and preach about this stuff. And I'm going, man, I'm not cut out that way. I don't talk to people naturally that way. And to go tell them about Jesus, man, I just can't do that. I don't know these people. What? They're going to look at me and laugh at me or say something nasty to me. I'm just not cut out that way. I'm not a confrontational person, or I used to not be. Maybe I am now. But eventually I got a hold of what the fact was, and that is God commands us to do it. And He didn't say, "You're going to go do it on your own strength, but I'll be with you. Take me with you and let me do the work. Let me give you the strength to be able to talk and say the things you need to say." And so I began going out with other people and seeing what they did and trying to learn. And really what I found out real quick is, yes, humanly speaking, it is hard. Even today, the first time I go knock on a door, it's a little hard. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, they're going to come out and they're going to kick me or spit on me or say something nasty to me. And I don't want to hear that. Or maybe I'm bit by a dog. I don't know about you, but everybody's got a dog around here. Last year when we went out visitation, I took Becky, and every house we knocked on had a dog, and she got bit by a couple of them, or one of them, because she got scared. She backed up, she's ready to run. And he jumped up and got her under the arm. And I said, "Becky, don't do that. Just keep on going. They'll be all right." We even got attacked by the same dog twice. Or not attacked, but threatened. Over here on Hogs, what is it? Hogs. Huh? Thank you, Hedgehog, thank you. We were going up there in the first house on the left, but we went to a house farther down the road on the right, and we knocked on their door first and talked to them, and they had a dog, and the dog wasn't too friendly. But then we talked to them for a little bit and invited them to church. And we got coming close to the end, we went to the house on the left, And when I got to that house, that same dog come running down the road and he stood in front of the door like he wasn't going to let us in. And that lady said, "How'd you get by him?" I said, "I just walked." She said, "He usually doesn't let anybody come to the door." And I said, "Well, I guess I'm supposed to be here." And I invited her to church. She wasn't interested, of course, but nonetheless. The point is that we fear a lot of things. And when God tells us to do those things and gives us the power to do them, He's going to overcome that fear because He gives us the faith to charge ahead, to move ahead. That's what the Christian life's all about, is learning what God's will is in our life and trusting Him by faith, believing that He will do what He says He will do. When He says, "Fear thou not," He says, "What do you got to be afraid of? What are you afraid of, dying and going to heaven?" I hope not. I think most of us are more afraid of getting hurt, not going to heaven. I know I am sometimes. But the fact is, God's got a plan for our lives. He tells us, He says, "For I am with thee." Now see, that's the problem. Is He with you? Have you experienced a true Holy Ghost experience in your life? Do you know that you're saved? Are you born again? If you are, He says, "I am with thee." He says, "I'm going to be right there." There's nothing you need to be afraid of. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." How often do we get discouraged? I don't know about you, but there are times I've had discouragement. And discouragement, you have to fight it. Because it'll win if you let it. Discouragement will keep you in your bed when you need to get out. Discouragement will keep you down thinking, "Oh me, what's this all about? What do I got to do?" But we got to overcome that because we have to look to God and say, "God, I know you can conquer this. My discouragement is self-pity often. I'm more worried about myself and my feelings and what I think instead of what God thinks about it." Think if Joshua was discouraged. And he went to the children of Israel and said, "Guys, we've got to go across that Jordan River. I don't know about you, but I'm really nervous about this. Now, I know God said He'll go with us, but I just don't know. Can I really trust Him? Is He really going to go with me? Is He going to be with me and help me? He says I'm with thee, but is He really?" Folks, I don't know. Let's take a vote. Who wants to go? He didn't do that, did he? He understood that God was with him. That's a big task, folks. He was strong enough and willing to serve God and had the Spirit of God in him and knowing that God was with him, believing that God would do what he said, that he took the steps and went across the Jordan River. Not only did he go across the Jordan River, but he faced those cities that God told him to go to. God's telling us to go knock on a door every now and then. That ain't a Jericho city, folks. They're not going to shoot you, I don't think. Now, I have been accosted by a gun one time. I remember I knocked on the door with a friend of mine, Dean Powell, and he said, "Come on, Bruce, let's go. We're on visitation. Let's go visit this fellow." He used to be a church member. I didn't know him. And we knocked on the door, and he came in his wheelchair because he only had one leg, and he had his gun there pointing at the door. And Dean goes, "It's me. It's Dean." And so, I said, "Okay, come on in." But it's a little scary there for a second. But you know what? God's with us when we do what He tells us to do. He will help us. Often we have that fear of failure. You know, I think about David when he was near his death. David wanted to build the temple of God. But God said, "No, David, you're a man of war." Now, David was allowed to accumulate the materials for that, but that's all he was able to do. And he passed that on to Solomon. And think about the awesome thing that God had given Solomon to do. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 for a second. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. It's after 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles 28. Look at verse 9. Says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. This is good advice for us. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Scan on down to verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Sound familiar? For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. We can take that same promise today. God's going to be with us until we finish the work God's called us to do. As long as we're on this earth, we're to be doing what God bids us. To glorify God, to try and strive to have a holy life, to be faithful in the things of God, and to be witnesses. And you know what? You're never going to be a good witness until you learn faithfulness. That's what happened to Joshua. Joshua was able to be used of God because of his faithfulness to Moses and God's plan. And if you and I don't commit ourselves to the things of God and faithfulness in every area that God calls us to be faithful in, we'll not be good witnesses. A lot of people try to be a witness and they're not faithful. That sends a mixed message. They're actually being hypocritical about God. They're saying, you ought to trust God, but I don't. You ought to believe in God, but I don't. You ought to follow God, but I won't. How does that sit with God? What do you think God thinks about that? I don't think He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And a lot of us will find ourselves in that position if we're not careful. Faithfulness is not as hard as you think. It's a step-by-step process. It's believing God has called me to do a certain thing and do it. And the basics are easy. When I got saved and started learning and growing, when I found out some of the basics, I just said, I'm going to do them. Period. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to keep going back to the Word of God and say, God, did you really mean that? Are you really saying that? I don't do that anymore. Now, there are things that I struggle with, but the basics are not the things I struggle with. And why there's so many Christians today. I hate to look at Facebook and all these social medias. There is so much garbage out there. I mean, I'm talking about those who claim to be Christians. The stuff they post and the things they say and the things that they do. Wickedness abounds, folks. And you wonder why God is not getting the glory. You wonder why people don't get saved. You wonder why. Because our testimonies, they go before us and people see them. And we need to be careful that we're not found in that fashion or that way. I know there's fear out there. But you and I don't have to allow it to grip us and to mold us and to shape us and to have us think a certain way. Because my God is greater than that. There's fear of the future. We wonder sometimes, what is going to be next? But the fact is, God is there and He's ready to help us and to encourage us and to strengthen us in this thing. And He wants to show us the future. Not all at once, but one step at a time. You know, and I hate to be the example of this, but you know, it's easier to talk about yourself than anybody else. But I just remember when I went to Bible college. I got saved in 1992, and God started stirring my heart, not to go to Bible college so much, but to learn the Word of God. And so I started reading the Scriptures and started studying the Bible. And the more I did, and the more I met other people going to Bible college, people my age, I guess, I started getting encouraged in that, but I was a little nervous. I'm going, why would I go to Bible college? I'm 39 years old, or excuse me, 36. No, I was 36 when I got saved, and I was about 40 when I started dealing with this. And at 39 years old, I'm going, why would a 39-year-old man who's got a great job go to Bible college? And as I continued down that path and seeking God, He made it abundantly clear to me and said, Bruce, I want you to go. And I remember going to my boss, Hanny, and I said to him, sitting in the office, Hanny, I got to quit because I'm going to Bible college. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Bible college. He said, but I don't get it. He says, you're going to need a job, aren't you? I said, well, absolutely, but you're not going to let me work nights. I said, Bible college is only in the daytime. They don't have night classes. They don't have anything online. You have to go during the day. And I talked to him, and I said, so I'm going to have to quit. And I gave him a tentative date. And so as I left the office, and he was thinking about it, and I was thinking about it, he called me up and says, come back here. So I went back and talked to him. He says, tell you what you do. You go register and bring me back a schedule. And I'm going to look at it, and we'll see what we can do. I said, look, I don't want to put you out. I don't want to get you in trouble. It doesn't make sense. They're not going to let me do this. Now, if I was going for a master's in electrical engineering, they'd pay for it, you know, and send me. But to go get a Bible college degree, they don't care anything about that. And so anyway, I went, just like he told me, registered and came back and says, I'm taking 10 hours the first semester, and here's the schedule. I got to go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's like from 8 to 12 or something. And he says, okay. And so I left, and I went back into my office and my computer. And I guess it's shortly thereafter, he sent me an email. It only had a few words on it. It says, go for it. I jumped out of my seat. I ran to his office, and I said, did you send me an email? I didn't believe it. I said, did that say go for it? He said, yes. And I sat down and says, well, how am I going to work this job? What's going to happen? He says, you come in, you get your 40 hours a week, you get your projects done, and we'll be okay. And so I talked to him about a schedule. He said, so I'm working long hours on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. I'm coming in early on Tuesdays and Thursdays and working a 12-hour day or whatever it was. And I just had to make sure I got my projects done. And God blessed me so much in that first year. I don't think I ever missed a Sunday or a Wednesday night service. God allowed me to go through and work the hours, go to Bible college, and still be faithful in church. And I just saw Him working in my life. That year, I got the biggest raise I ever got. And I said, I can't believe you're doing this, God. And He kept doing it all the way through the time I was going to Bible college. I was transferred to the plant. And when I got transferred, I told the guy that was going to be my supervisor, look, I'm not going to take this transfer unless you understand that I'm going to be going to Bible college. If you can't accept that or let me do that, then I just don't want to transfer. And he said, we'll work with you. I couldn't believe it. And so I know that there's a God on the throne. I know that you don't have to fear. I know that you can trust Him. When God puts something in your heart to do, do it. He'll make the path straight. He'll do it in your life. He gives us promises about the future that He's going to take care of us. You can cast all your care upon Him. Why? Because He careth for you. God believes in you. Why don't we believe in Him? How do we demonstrate belief? By faithfully doing what He says to do. By obedience. Joshua demonstrated it. David demonstrated it. Moses demonstrated it. It's not impossible. And I want to tell you something. None of those men were perfect. They are today. They're with their Holy Father. But they were striving for being perfect. They worked on that. They tried to be faithful. They tried to do what God told them to do. And they accomplished many things by it. We have these promises today. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Do we act like that? When I get on Facebook and see some of my old friends, Christian friends, man, they're doing the very opposite of what they said back when I was hanging out with them that they would ever do. Why? They've lost hope. They've lost sight. They've lost their faith. We're living in a world today that teaches you and I as Christians that God overlooks everything. Put your faith and trust in Him, and He will get you to heaven. That's all you need to do. So let's cast out all of Paul's letters. Let's just take his letters and throw them out of the Bible, because if we do, we can live like we want to, go where we want to, say what we want to. It doesn't matter. But if we keep those books in the Bible, we can't. He warns us and teaches us and tells us over and over and over again. God's got a purpose in your life. You are a peculiar people, as Peter said. You're different. In your workplace, if you're working with people and they don't see a difference, maybe you listen to the jokes or say the words they say, or even think the way they do, you're failing in your Christian walk. They ought to say to some, hey, you know that guy over there? Man, he's different than us. He don't listen to dirty jokes. He don't cuss. He works hard. He talks about the Lord. I can't believe that. For Christ's sake, we ought to suffer a little bit, huh? What about the Lord? When's the last time you mentioned His name to somebody? We're to do it often, because we have faith in God. Realizing that you're kept by the power of God. You can't lose your salvation. It can never happen. So there's a lot of things out there that we're afraid of. But we don't have to. We don't have to fear the unknown. We don't have to fear failure. We don't have to fear the future. We can replace that by faith. Fear not, God says. You know, that is akin to a command, I think. I think that's an imperative. I think that's what He's telling us. Fear thou not. But the sky's falling. My life's a wreck and everything's coming. Well, trust God. Get down on your knees and talk to your holy God and tell Him about it. He can fix any situation. Now, He may not fix it to your pleasing, but that's okay. We accept our mistakes. We accept the consequences in our life. You know, there are consequences in our lives, folks. You don't raise your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. There are consequences for that. And it may not be changed. That's between God and that individual. But if you're a Christian, you ought to serve a holy God. You ought to trust the holy God and do right. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, He said, for I am thy God. I like what He says, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's going to see us through the fire. He's going to see us through the flood. He's going to see us in the lion's den and take care of us. If you, by faith, trust Him. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. There's the problem. We need to understand that our understanding is sometimes not right. Because we aren't filled with the Spirit, or we're not walking with God, or we're not listening to Him. If we do the basics, He promises that He will guide us. I've heard testimony of people say, oh, the Lord blessed me in this way and that way. And the person that's saying they're not faithful in church, they don't really believe, they don't read their Bible or any of these. And you know what I think? I think, is God really blessing them? Might be Satan tricking them. Because I study the Bible. I don't know about you, but when my Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If my Bible says, if you keep my commandments, I will bless you. Then the opposite, if you don't, then I will curse you or I will chasten you. Then that's not God's blessing in your life. Make no mistake. If you're not walking close to God, you don't even know what's going on in your life. You don't know who's affecting you, who's trying to lead you. Because you're missing out on God's blessings. You don't see Him as the Bible teaches us to see Him. And that's a problem that we all have if we're not careful. I'm going to close. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. This is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to make us abound in every good work. And we don't need to fear. But let's trust. Let's trust what the Bible teaches. Let's don't do it man's way. Let's don't do it the way we think's right. Let's do it the way God says it is right. And that's when we're going to have the influence. That's when we're going to be able to affect other people's lives. That's when we'll be able to do what God says without thinking about it and trying to be critical about it and figure out, does he really mean what he says he means? How many Christians do you know that will open the Bible and they'll read it? They'll read one passage, read another, compare them, say, they don't say the same. And right away, they're critical. God made a mistake. Why do we think God could ever make a mistake? Do you think God can make a mistake? I don't think so. You see, I don't understand God as well as some of you do, maybe. Because I believe that I don't understand these things. Some of these things he does just to teach us by faith, to trust him. You know, everybody has a different perspective on things. When one writer writes something and another writer writes something else, they saw it from a different perspective. Does that mean that God lied or God changed? No! It means God used that person to see things from that person's perspective, and by God's grace, God helped him to do that. I don't challenge the Word of God anymore. I used to. I just believe it now. And you know, it makes it a lot easier. A lot easier. I want to encourage you today that, you know, we struggle with fear and we struggle with the unknown. And I'm not talking about things that hurt. There are things that hurt. Even us Christians will have something come up in our life that hurts us. But please, what I want you to know is that don't ever lose focus. Don't revert back to the worldly things. But trust God in every situation. Even the hurt, God allows that in our life for a reason. But let's trust him for it. Let's give him glory for what he's doing and what he will do. Let's walk in his ways. Then we can say, I have nothing to fear because I'm trusting God. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for your blessings to us. And Father, I know that this is difficult sometimes because I struggle too. There are things that I've come up against and have been anxious about. And I'm reminded in what time I'm afraid that I can trust in you and or trust in thee. And Father, I want us to each one in this room start coming to the knowledge that we can trust you in every area of our life, whether it's finances, whether it's a physical problem, whether it's our family, whatever it is. Yes, there are consequences for not doing right. But we can all put ourselves in the right position and be doing right by the grace of God if we're willing to submit to you. Help us each one to trust you in our lives in every area. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.